morning we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We're just finishing up studying the book of Revelation on our Wednesday night class, and we'll actually, our next class will finish the book of Revelation. As we look through Revelation, we see over and over again that the people of God worship and praise God. We're gonna spend some time this morning looking at Revelation, and we're gonna be singing some songs to praise and to worship God. As Revelation says, it we'll be worshiping God and His Christ. And so prepare your minds as we enter in and we sing songs that remind us of scenes and remind us of the power and the might of God.
401 if you're using the book. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him.
Chapter 4. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he was sitting like a jasper stone, and a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones. Upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments, and golden crowns on their heads. Out of the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds of peals of thunder. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne, there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center, around the throne, 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf. And the third creature had a face of that of a man. And the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the 4 creatures, each of them having 6 wings, full of eyes around and within, and day and night, they did not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is to come."
Amen. Please stand as we sing this song and then remain standing for our opening prayer. Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Please bow. Dear Lord, thank you. You are so great and so powerful, so magnificent. You are amazing, Lord. You are the one that, you're the only one that deserves our praise.
That's right. Amen.
Lord, there are some missing from us, and there are people who are sick and traveling. Please be with them. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Throughout the book of Revelation, we see many reasons to worship God. We see the creatures, the four living creatures. We see the elders. We see saints. We see myriads of multitudes. We see them come and praise God for a variety of reasons. For he is worthy because of what he's created, his mighty works, the things around him. We see themes repeated over and over again, and we see those same themes in the songs that we sing. Continuing on where we left off. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him that lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power? For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and they were created."
In the last verse, we'll pause just a second. I'll try to raise it about a half step. Oh Lord, my God, when I am out and wander, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, while far throughout the universe displayed. Then sing my soul.
God indeed is awesome.
Amen.
And in the vision of John, we see that the people sometimes aren't. That they're given things that are hard. That they're challenged, that they're persecuted, they have trials. And we see that there are a variety of ways that this happens. There are things that come, whether it is the beast that represents the powers, the principalities, the things of this earth, the rulers. And people are impressed by it. Like, who could stand against that? Let's get behind that. That thing is amazing. Or they're seduced by cunning words, by prophets who speak lies, but boy, they seem sweet and they seem almost like something God might say. They look close to the Lamb. And the people want to follow after that. Or maybe it's just, I need to buy and sell things. I need to live. And the only way to do that is to compromise. The only way to do that is to get that mark, to belong to something that I shouldn't belong to, so that I could just live. And so they give up something. Except for those who overcome and those who hold tight to God, because they're going to give up this life so that they can obtain something else. Because if nothing else, what we learn in Revelation, we learn that the end story is already written. We already know who wins. We already know what the end game looks like. We just have to overcome and live through.
Amen.
Shortly after the scene that I just read where the elders fall down and they're throwing their crowns, John sees another vision. John sees something else. He sees a book that's sealed, one that he desires to know what's inside of it, and he can't know. He can't. No one's worthy. No one can open or break the seal. Yet one of the elders touches him and says, "Don't weep. There is someone that's worthy. The Lion of Judah, David's root, he is worthy." And as he turns around, probably to see this great and magnificent lion, what does he see but a lamb? He sees a lamb with the appearance of one who has been slain. Lamb with crowns. Continuing on in our story, we see that the people, they sing a new song. Why a new song? Because they have something great and magnificent and new to sing about. "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessings. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him that sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever.' And the four living creatures kept saying, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and they worshiped."
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wind, power and love. Our God.
Roger, move me to All Hail. There we go.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, when angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him a majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. To him a majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. For that with yonder sacred throne we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
John's vision, he sees a woman, and the woman is clothed in the sun, and under her feet is the moon. She has a crown of 12 stars, and she's ready to give birth. And there in front of the woman, I can just imagine it, kind of crouched, is a red dragon, waiting at the moment that the child is born to devour the child. Yet, God captures the child up, and the dragon fails. And we're told the dragon is Satan, the accuser of old, who for generations upon generations has been sitting there accusing the saints in front of God. We know this. We see it in Job. We see it in other places in the Old Testament. He sits there and accuses. Yet, it says he's lost his power. He doesn't have the strength. And Michael and his angels and the dragon and his angels have a battle. And he's cast out of heaven and thrown to the earth. The great accuser no longer has power. He doesn't have the strength. But why? Why doesn't he have strength? Chapter 12 says, starting in verse 9, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony. and they did not love their life even to death. For this reason, rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them.
Prior to the Lord's Supper, your only Son, O sin too high, but you have sinned from your side to walk upon his guilty star and to become the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love.
I appreciate the picture we've all seen this morning about the Lamb of God and just sharing Revelation, the songs that we've been singing, and talking about the very sacrifice that we just sang about. I want to look at Matthew's account as we continue to look at the Lamb of God and Jesus giving his life on our behalf. This is Matthew 27, starting in verse 27. Again, this is after the betrayal. This is after the mock trial. And this is where we begin. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him and took a reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Now they had came out. As they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink, but when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who can destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests, also mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." Isn't that powerful? And brothers and sisters, that brings us to what we are here about this morning, is to honor and remember Jesus for the very things he did for you and I on that cross that we just read about. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, "For I received from the Lord," that's important, "for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you," which is what we're doing this morning, "that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Amen. Brothers. So this morning, it's an honor to remember and to partake of the Lord's Supper again, that reminds us of a Savior that redeemed us and did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. Let's go to our Father in prayer as Brother Fred offers thanks for the body of Christ.
Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, O Lord, for allowing us to be here today.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking on that time when Christ came to the earth to save us as lost sinners, to rebound the whole world into what God intended for us to do, to bring us forward. He put his body in harm's way. He took up the cross and he carried it for you and I. So thank you, O Lord, for the gift of life through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive us of our sins. Let us take this in a pleasing manner in your sight, always knowing full well what Christ gave up for us.
Mm-hmm.
We know he's on the right hand of you, O Lord, and that someday we will be able to see our Lord and Savior again through Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Would you bow with us as Brother Joe continues our prayer for the blood of Jesus?
Our Father, our God in heaven, it was a long journey, Father, from the beginning of time to the days that Christ came on the scene to us. He came to teach us. He came to save us. He suffered many hours of tragedy before he came to the cross. Father, guide us and direct us as we take this fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that he shed on the cross for us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.
And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and of his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God, and they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you. For your righteous acts have been revealed. After these things I looked, and the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and his power. And no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues and the seven angels had finished. That temple of the tabernacle, that inner sanctuary, that inner spot, reminds us, of course, of another tabernacle and another temple, another inner spot that would fill with the glory of God. And as they were building that, in Exodus it says, everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting and for its service and holy garments. The Israelites, all the men and women whose hearts moved them to bring material for the work which the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done, brought a free will offering to the Lord. They were moved as children of God to the command of God to do what he asked. They were moved to be engaged, to be part of the work. And that's how they were going to do it.
We come to a part of our worship where we, really with all of our worship, we should be reflecting upon our blessings and how God is so good to us, really better to us than we ever deserve. We've been focusing again on the Lamb of God this morning, focusing on the sacrifice that Jesus gave so that we can be blessed and really have the things we have. And so we have a moment to focus on our material things and to just be really grateful and thankful for those. If you're visiting with us this morning, this isn't a time for you to give. We don't want you to feel compelled by any means. We want you to feel honored, for you are our guest. Amen. And we want you to know that. But this is an opportunity and really a privilege for those of us who are members here at Rescue to give back to the Lord as we've prospered, as we've already purposed, as we've thought about, because we know God will take these very funds, this very offering this morning, and he'll do incredible things with it.
Amen.
And we're blessed to be just a small part of that. So Brian's going to lead our mind in prayer here as we're just going to focus for just a moment on our blessings.
Our dear gracious and most heavenly Father, we're so thankful to come together on the first day of the week as you have commanded us to do, to follow in your son's footsteps. Lord, we're so thankful for your son and the sacrifice for each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, as we follow in his footsteps, let us always reflect back that the greatest gift that you gave us was your only son.
That's right.
And the gift that your son gave us was his life. And Lord, let us remember and mold our minds and mold our life as your son.
Hmm.
Walked on this earth and he gave us everything. Let us give you everything. Let us give you our lives, and Lord, as we give back, let us be cheerful in what we do, on the first day of the week, we can look forward to spreading your gospel, mm-hmm. spreading your word to all those who are lost, having Bible studies to sharpen our minds, to understand what you want. Lord, let our obedience and let our fellowship with one another be pleasing unto you and uplifting to each other. Mm-hmm. Lord, be with us now as we get back to you, Lord, and let us use this money to share your word and to tell others about Christ. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Even with the short readings that we've had this morning, we can see that the people who follow the Lamb, they overcome. They're not brought in by the lie. They don't give in to the beast. They don't give in to the things around them, to the point where they lose their lives. They truly are dedicated to God to the end. Each of these give of themselves, but because they know what there is at the end. Amen. They understand that they die because of the testimony that they'll give, but they'll overcome, and they'll overcome to death. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except for the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. These are the ones that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And no lie was found on their mouth. They are blameless. The ones that could sing the song, the ones that could learn the words, the ones that knew it, were the ones that would follow the Lamb wherever the Lamb went. They would follow. In a moment, we're going to sing a song where it's a familiar one. It's got the words that I heard the song and I strove to join. It's not just striving. How do you join? You could join if you follow the Lamb. Step by step, follow the Lamb of God.
Oh,
Revelation begins with this amazing vision of Christ. Just, it's so spectacular. It's so amazing. John just falls down like a dead man, right? And then it continues with visions in which Christ is addressing churches one after another. He's giving them a message, something he needs them to know. But at the end of each of those, at the end of each of the things that he wants them to know, most of all, he wants them to know that they must overcome. They have to hold tight. They have to continue with God. And if they do, if they overcome, they'll have life. If they overcome, they will not be hurt by the second death. If they overcome, they will be owned by him. They'll be his. He will have their name. If they overcome, their name will be in the book of life. They must overcome. As we read through Revelation, actually as we read through the Bible, you cannot walk away thinking this is a game.
Amen.
This is not a game.
Amen.
Just like this morning in class, Joshua tells the people, you figure it out. Are you going to worship the God of the land where you came from? Are you going to worship the gods in the land where we're going? Or, like me and my household, are you going to worship Jehovah, the one God?
Amen.
Because you don't get to compromise and you don't get to choose another choice. You don't get to play. You're going to give yourself completely to God. Just like these people in Revelation. They gave themselves wholly to God. And what's interesting is the rejoicing and the praise and the excitement, it's in heaven. That's the scene of where all of the exciting things are happening. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. He's just flailing around. It's rage because he knows he's lost. He has nothing left. If you're in Christ tonight, today, this morning, you're to overcome. You're to continue. You're to be faithful. You're to follow step by step after the Lamb. That's what we do. But if you're not in Christ, if you've compromised, if you're not part of the one that God has sealed as his own, then there's nothing for you. It's just emptiness. It's lost. You need to align yourself with God. To one of the churches, he says in chapter 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." If you are in need this morning, please come as we stand and sing.
Who at the door is standing?